Matthew 14 tonight.
All right, we're going to start reading in verse number 22. I guess it's a pretty familiar passage. You're going to recognize the story as soon as we get into it. But Matthew chapter 14 in verse number 22, let's start there. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's go ahead and pray this evening. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for those that have come out to hear the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. You would use me now. And Lord, your word would be a blessing unto your people and strengthen us, Lord, as we're about to begin a week, a work week or a school week. Lord, whatever you've asked us to do, Lord, I pray you'd strengthen us to keep going for you. Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 14 here in these verses that we just read, this is the famous story of Peter walking on the water. And Peter does get kind of a bad rap here. I believe, because we all know what happens. Peter gets out on the boat. He walks on the water, but he sinks. The Lord questions his faith and says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But Peter does something here in the Bible that nobody else did except Jesus Christ himself. And so Peter was able to say, no matter what happened, Peter was able to say that he got out of the boat and walked some steps on the water towards Jesus. And he did that. This story here is an illustration to Peter and to the 11, at least the 11 that would have been in the boat. The lesson of Matthew 19:26, which says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This is a very much an illustration of when Jesus Christ later says that this happened, walking on the water. And you know what? Walking on the water is a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, I don't expect myself to do it, nor do I expect you to do it. But walking on the water here in this story, even if it was just for a little bit, was a good thing. It was a positive thing. I want you to look in verse 29 here. We find that this walking on the water, it was an invitation of the Lord, is what it was. In verse 29, he said, Come. That's what Jesus Christ said. They see this spirit and they're afraid. And Jesus Christ says, It's me. Don't worry about it. And of course, that's my version, right? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. And the Lord says, Come. He says, Come. It was an invitation of the Lord to come. Now, did he know that Peter could walk on the water? Did he think Peter could walk on the water? Did Jesus Christ just say, come, knowing automatically that Peter had the power to walk on the water? No, that certainly wasn't the case. Jesus knew that Peter could do it, but he knew Peter wasn't going to be the one doing it. Why? Because with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I hope you understand tonight that whatever the Lord asks you to do with him, you can do it. You realize that, right? Whatever the Lord asks of you, whatever petition, whatever invitation the Lord has for you to come and join me in doing this. Through him, you and I have the power to be able to do it. I mean, Peter said, hey, if it's you, Lord, invite me to come walk on the water. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think Peter was probably just as shocked as everybody else in the boat when he walked on the water. People were like, there's Peter. Well, let's hope to see how this goes. And man, he took a few of those steps on the water, and he was probably as surprised as everybody else. Walking on the water is an example of God doing something through you that would never get done without his power and your availability. You understand that? Jesus Christ said, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus Christ said to Peter, he said, come on, Peter. And might not have been the invitation he was looking for. But you know what he did? He hopped out of the boat and got on the water and took some steps and walked on the water like Jesus Christ was doing. It would have been impossible for Peter to do it by himself. He wouldn't even have considered it a few moments before that. A few moments before they saw that spirit walking on the water, which they thought was a spirit walking on the water, Peter wouldn't have jumped out of the boat and said, hey guys, watch this trick. I just learned how to do this. No, Peter wouldn't have done that. But when he called out to the Lord and the Lord gave him the invitation, he then took that next step and went out and walked on the water. He did that thing. And what I notice here in the scriptures, if we're going to say it's the 12 disciples that are in the boat, all right, to make it a nice round number, because we know it was his disciples, but sometimes that word disciples gets thrown around a little freely, and we can't always count the number. Let's just say it was the 12 disciples. If all 12 were in the boat, only one of them stepped out and walked on the water. Only one. And that's the reality. Walking on the water, doing something that seems impossible for the Lord, yoking up with the Lord under his power and doing what God asks you to do in the way that he asks of you to do it. There, one out of 11. There might be a few here tonight that might step out of the boat to walk on the water. Maybe a few. The odds aren't good, though. The odds aren't good. The odds aren't good in churches all over. Remember the story about the 10 lepers that were healed? And one came back and thanked the Lord. You know what that means? Maybe 10% of us will be thankful, like we should. The other 90% of us will probably be less grateful. Ugh. Yuck, huh? But the Bible's pretty good with the math. The Bible's pretty good with the math. And so here tonight, as we look at this story just for a few minutes, maybe there's a couple here tonight, and maybe you'll grip onto these thoughts and take them and apply them in your life. It's a good thing to walk on the water. There should be more that want to walk on the water. I mean, there should be more that want to see what God can do with sinners like me and you, that can make ourselves a willing vessel, try to be clean and fit and ready for the master's use and see what God can do with you and I. I hope there's a few. I like to say this firstly, to be able to walk on water and to do what Peter did here, we have to be willing to defy the logic of man. That's point number one. We have to be willing to defy the logic of man. It doesn't make any sense that somebody could hop out of the boat and walk on water. It doesn't make sense. We shouldn't be able to do that. We can't will it into our mind to say, yeah, I'm just going to hop out of here and I'm just going to do this thing and walk on the water. Following God to walk on water doesn't make sense to most people. And the decisions that you make to try to walk on water for the Lord aren't going to make sense to a lot of people. They can't wrap their... And I'm talking Christians. Now the world, if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in Jesus Christ for salvation and you separate yourself from sin and you don't go along with the world and you agree with the Bible and you let the Bible do your thinking for you, the world's already going to think you're nuts. Can we just lay it out there for everybody to feel comfortable tonight? To be a Bible believer, you have to have a certain amount of being comfortable with the world saying you're a crazy person. You just have to get there. If you don't get there, it's going to be too easy to push you around from the world's perspective. You have to realize, man, what this book says is true. It's holy. It's divine. I'm going to believe it, every word that it says, and I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to do the best of my ability to practice it and to go forward for Christ based on the words of God. And if you try to do that, most of the world and the co-workers and those that are lost and those that claim to be religious, they're going to look at you and be like, yeah, you're out there, man. You're a little too far out there for me. And so it's okay. It's all right. But if you do what the world, if you do what the Lord wants you to do, even the Christians are going to think it's a little too much. It's a little too much. Even Christians are going to want to feel pretty safe. And I don't really know anything safe about walking on water in the midst of a storm. I don't really know about that. I don't really know. I know the way the Lord has led my life and the things that he's wanted for me and my family throughout. We decided to homeschool our children. We were a single income family. I quit college to go to Bible school. A lot of people thought I was supposed to have my own business. They told me all about it. You should start your own business. And I never did that. I left a good job to move here to be a pastor. Some people thought that was pretty crazy. I might think it's crazy sometimes. All right. What are those things? Those are things where God just asks and leads and guides and some things that just don't make any sense in the big picture. But yet, you're just trying to go forward, and maybe somewhere along the line, the Lord allows you to do something impossible with His glory and with His power and with His strength. And when we get to the end, the people that were still in the boat, well, they sure were worshiping God at that point. God got glory out of it. God got glory out of this little situation that was going on. But Peter had to be willing to defy the logic of man. You have to be willing to defy your own logic. Why? Because we're confined to just what we can think and come up with. And God's not confined to that. God's not confined to, well, this is how it's going to be, and this is what's going to go on, and this is how it is. And, you know, today's day and age, it's pretty bad, and no one's ever going to get saved, and you're not really going to be able to influence anybody, and no one's going to change their lives, and nothing really is going to be that. It's really hard nowadays, and no one wants to hear the truth. And, right, we can tell ourselves all of these things that might make sense when we look out into the world. But God's not worried about that. God's never been concerned with that. God had his own challenges. The Lord Jesus Christ had his challenges in his day. And he wasn't worried about it. Well, you know, the masses aren't going to listen, and you're not going to have a lot of people in church, and most people aren't going to do right anyway. And you get all these things, but God's not worried about that. God's not worried about odds. He's not worried about the math. He's not worried. He's going to take those that are willing to step out of the boat, and he's going to say, watch this. And God's going to do some things that man would think were impossible. But you have to be willing to defy the logic of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. You ever think about that? The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Men, here we are, we think we're the pinnacle. We have it all figured out. You know that's not true, but man thinks he has it all figured out. And God says, my foolishness is wiser than you. Run along. And you, You don't have to worry about man in this Christian life. You don't have to get caught up and worried about what man is going to think. Because God can do the impossible. And you follow the Lord and you live for the Lord and you watch him do the impossible and you say, man, that was impossible. And yet the Lord did it. And yet the Lord used you and others that were willing to step out of the boat. God used them to do something that man would say, that can never be done. That just can't be accomplished. That can't happen. And yet it did happen. And this is one of the ones where the world will come along into the stories like this and say, well, no one could have really walked on water. And they'll come in with their science and their physics and they'll tell you, see, and nobody could really do that. Except God. If God wrote the law of physics, he could, and wrote the law of gravity, he could stop it whenever he wanted to. He could put a pause on it and do whatever he wanted to do with it. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. All of the chosen disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ stayed in the boat, and one stepped out. Just one. And here it's recorded in Matthew, because he was willing to step out of the boat, he did something nobody else can ever say they've done. How? Through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to be willing to defy the logic of man. You know what else you have to be willing to do? Number two, you have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your comfort. We all have this thing called a comfort zone. What does that mean? That means we are comfortable in doing these certain things, and once we have to do anything outside of these certain things, we don't like it. It makes us uncomfortable. We get real nervous about it. And that comfort zone is different for everybody. It's different. And so one person might be, oh man, I'll go and do this. And someone else says, not a chance. Not a chance. When we were just away in South Carolina, my daughter and I, we went, hold on. Paddleboarding, whew, that was real hard for me to find. I'm like, surfing, surfboarding, boarding? What did we do? Paddleboarding, you know what that is? That's the flat kind of board, and you get up on it, and eventually you stand up, and you have this long paddle, and you're kind of in the water, and you're going like this. My daughter and I did that. My wife was not as interested in doing that. All right, that was a little bit out of her comfort zone to want to go out there on the water. It was the first time I had done it as well. So we're like, let's go do this thing. And so everybody has like a different comfort zone. But I'll tell you this much. The Lord, in order to have you walk by faith and walk on the water, is going to ask you to come out of your comfort zone. He's going to ask you to do it. You're going to have to do something to get out of your comfort zone if you ever walk on the water. You're just going to have to. I don't know where you're just going to have to get the courage of the Lord. He said, fear not. You're going to have to come up with the courage because God will give you the courage. But you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone in order to do anything for the Lord. And man, the most exciting things happen when you're outside of your comfort zone. I know this is contrary, right? Because I don't mind doing some crazy things, right? It's kind of fun. Life can get pretty boring inside of just the confines of safety and normal, right? Life can, okay, whatever. It's fun to do something different and fun after the fact, right? If you just go and you do something like, oh, that was so nice. But then all of a sudden something crazy happens and you have this story about some thing and man, it was all this happened and then you come back. Those are the stories you tell. You know what stories you tell? The stories you tell to your kids and your grandkids and other people when everybody's around are not the comfort stories. They're the stories where something crazy happened and I was so like, ah, and then this came about and everything was fine. And then you go tell that story You're like, oh man, let me tell you what happened. No, everything's fine. But man, I didn't think it was going to be fine. Right? Those are the stories you tell. You don't say, oh man, so I got in my car and I drove down the road and I got to the store. And then I went into the store and I picked the items off the shelf and I went to the checkout and then everything went fine at the checkout. And then I went through that and I got back in my car and I drove all the way home, turn signals and everything, and I got into my driveway and then I put the food away. They're asleep like 4 seconds ago. Why? Because that's like, who cares? We did it. Good job, you did it. You went to the store. You don't tell anybody those stories. You know, one time I was driving and then there was this other car, right? And yeah, those are the stories. You have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone for the Lord in order to walk on water. Look in verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. All right, so that's one thing. You're in a boat, the waves are big, the ship's being tossed about because of the waves. Okay, that could be uncomfortable. I'd have been long seasick, all right? Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, you know what time the fourth watch is? It's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. It's from 3 to 6 in the morning. That's the fourth watch, all right? So it's pitch black, right? It's dark. And the ship's being thrown around. All right, so add that to it. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, verse 26, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear, right? They saw a ghost. They saw a spirit, some kind of form, some kind of life form out there walking on the water. And they said, there it is. That's the sea monster that everyone's been talking about. You know, you have all those stories from all those men at sea for months and months and years at a time, and all these stories about these things that they see out there, and no one else seems to see them. And so here they are. They see this spirit, and they're afraid. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. They're afraid. They're completely out of their comfort zone. The boat's not right. It's dark. They're seeing things walking on the water. And Jesus Christ says, be of good cheer. They're out of their comfort zone. But imagine the uncertainty of getting out of the boat. During all that, the uncertainty of getting out of the boat and walking towards the Lord because he said, come. That's not in anybody's comfort zone. I know Peter was loud and brash and the first one to jump in there and swinging swords and saying stuff. He had no idea what he was saying, the Bible says. And he says one thing, and the Lord's like, good job. The next thing he says, like, get behind me, Satan. I mean, Peter was all over the place. But no one's comfort zone. He was a commercial fisherman. So he was used to fishing at night and the water being strange. But no one's in their comfort zone to get out of the boat's the only thing that seems like it's holding you up right now. But he got out of the boat and started to head towards the Lord. He had to be willing to step out of his comfort zone. I mean, handing out a gospel tract or witnessing to a coworker or taking the right job the Lord has for you or simply waiting on the Lord. Sometimes waiting on the Lord is outside of your comfort zone. And people aren't willing to do it. They're not willing to. Pray for direction or take a missions trip or help in a ministry of this church. That's outside of my comfort zone. I don't want to do anything like that. Well, okay. But you'll probably never walk on water unless you get out of your comfort zone, unless you let the Lord do something in your life, unless you have something inside of you that stirs you up and the Holy Ghost of God moves you to do something for the Lord. But you have to be moved. You have to have something inside that's not just... So many people are just dead inside. That's probably not the right way to say it. That's probably not the nicest way to say it. But there's so many Christians who just seem dead inside. No urge to do anything. No urge to step out. No urge to just, what can God do with my life? What can happen? What would happen if I did this? What could God do if I volunteered for this thing? Say, it could be a disaster. Maybe. You have a good story. Maybe the Lord would do something with it and you'd see something great get done. And then you'd have, man, all praise be to God. All glory be to Him. If something like that were to happen. And I mean, seeing somebody get saved, that's not a little thing. That's a big thing. And God could use you to do it. That's impossible. We can't do that. Well, I can't go up to somebody and use my words and convince them to get saved. Man, it takes a power of God to deal with their spirit and to deal with their soul and for put them under the conviction and for them to bow their pride and get saved. That's an awesome thing. But man, I can't really talk to anybody. I don't really want to do that. I mean, this is the beginning of a comfort zone. This is just giving it a little bit of stretch, just a teeny bit. But you have to be willing to do that if you're going to walk on the water. And then lastly, you have to be willing to stay focused on the Lord. You have to be willing to stay focused on the Lord. Man, there's just so many things that Christians just forever, we're just looking around like this, and man, every little thing is catching our eye and catching our attention. Every little thing is distracting us from the Lord, and this thing, and this new thing, and this other thing. Did you hear about, and did you know, and all this kind of stuff, and constantly, right? We carry them around in our pockets now, constantly just redirecting our attention to everything else. Nobody can pay attention to anything for more than a couple seconds now. And it's just this and that and running around and get outside the church door walls and man, it's just 1,000 things to grab our attention and fight for our time and everything else. And you have to stay focused on the Lord if you're going to walk on the water. You have to. Look in verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He gets out of the boat, and you know what the Bible says? It says he saw the wind. That's the interesting thing about it. Is you can't see wind. Do you ever think about that? You can't see wind. Oh, he could see the waves that were pushed about from the wind. He could see the water spraying all over the place if it was raining or if things were happening. He could see that. You can look out the door and you can see the grass blowing by. If the wind's big, you can see leaves and tree branches or whatever else of the wind. But you can't see the wind. You can try. You can look out there, but you can't see it. He said, the Bible said he saw the wind. He was looking around at all the stuff that was happening. And he was afraid. And he began to sink. He began to sink. He has to be willing to stay focused on the Lord. Many people get focused on their circumstances. Well, this is where I am in life. They get looking at the wind. He steps out of the boat and says, oh, there's too much wind. There's too much going on right now. I can't do this. There's circumstances. People are looking for, when everything's perfect, when I have the perfect opportunity to step outside of my comfort zone and serve the Lord, then I'll do it. That time will never come. It'll never come. There will never be a time in your life when you are 100% comfortable doing everything the Lord asks you to do. Why? Because your flesh. And your flesh says, one, I don't want to do that. Two, I'm afraid of what someone else will think or say or do if I do that. It seems everything in me says that wouldn't make any sense and that would be not logical. And so what happens? There'll never be a perfect scenario. Never. There'll never be a perfect scenario to walk on water. This is the scenario that the Lord Jesus Christ set up. And Peter got out. Peter got out. And for a little bit, he stayed focused on the Lord. Then he started looking at the circumstances, the wind. You can't look at your circumstances. You need to stay focused on the Lord. Some people look at others. Well, what's everybody else doing? I'll do what they're doing. If they're okay doing it, then I'll do it. No, that's not true. You'll just look at who you want to look at. Because all the 11 could have looked at Peter and said, well, he's walking on the water. I'll get out and walk on the water. They didn't do that. You know what they did? They looked at each other like, oh, we're in here. So no, you won't do what everybody else does. You won't do what some people do. You'll look around and find the ones that aren't doing it. And you'll say, well, they're not doing it, so I'm not going to do it. That's what happens. We look around to justify ourselves. Say, oh, no, I'll look around this church and I'll find somebody. And I'll do what they're doing. Okay, Adam Russell. Go thou do likewise. Well, okay, not him. I mean, that's crazy. You see what I mean? We look around and we'll say, oh, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it if we see someone else do it. And then we see someone else do it. We're like, oh, that's not for me. Listen, I'm not saying walk out of here and start deputation tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying whatever the Lord asks of you to do, man, you should have something inside of you as a Christian that says, I'd like to walk on water. I'd like to see God do the impossible because I make myself available to go and do it and to get out there and see God do something. You can't look around at others. Everybody else was in the boat. There's never going to be a time when you're going to have everyone's support to go out there and serve the Lord and to walk on water. There's not going to be a time for that. The staying focused on the Lord means I'm focused on what He wants and I'm doing what He wants. And I'm following what the Lord wants me to follow. That doesn't mean you have to go somewhere. It doesn't mean you have to find something crazy to do. It doesn't mean you have to go out there and put yourself in some kind of harm's way. It doesn't mean you have to do any of that. But walking on the water comes from following the Lord and doing what He asks of you to do. That could be right here in this local church. The Lord might have you walk on water in some scenario right here, or it might not be. It might be at your workplace. It might be at your school. It might be in something that God has for you, but He has something uncomfortable for you to do where you're going to have to keep your eyes on the Lord and be willing to stay focused on what the Lord has. And you're going to have to not worry about others and what they're doing. You're going to have to not worry about what everybody else is doing. And you also can't look at yourself. Because if you look at yourself, well, you're going to see the failures. And then you're going to say, well, I couldn't do it. And you know what? You're right. And I'm right. When I look at me and say, you can't do that. Nope, you cannot. But the Lord can. We look at ourselves, and because we can be finite and weak, we underestimate the Lord and what He can do. Well, there's no chance you're asking me to do that because I could never do it. Okay, probably. And if you try to do it all on your own, you'd probably kind of make a mess of it. But that's where the Lord comes in. The Lord says, come. Come. Come walk on the water. And with that invitation and His assurance, we're following His word. I'm not talking about stepping outside of the Lord's will. You step outside of the Lord's will, you're on your own. You're on your own in your own strength, outside of the Lord's will. Good luck. Well, I think I'll do this for the Lord, and I'm just going to go out there and not without Him saying, come. Man, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not trying to preach to go out there and be reckless. I'm saying when the Lord says, come, and you say, no chance I can do that. Lord, I know me. I can't walk on the water. I know you. You're the Son of God. You can walk on the water, but I can't. And the Lord says, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat, and he walks on the water. You can't look at you. Well, when I'm ready and I'm at the right place, then I can do it. If I just learn a little bit more Bible, or if I just do this other thing, or if I could just get to this next step in my life, or if I could just be at this place, then I'll be ready to do it. Nope. You won't be ready to do it. You can't do it. The Lord has to do it. And he will do it. When he says, come, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't like this. He's like, thinking to himself, watch this. Come on, Peter. Steps out of the boat. Kaplunk. You know, right? Loser. That's not what he was doing. That's not what he wanted to do. He said, come on. Come on out. And when he came out, Peter was like, all right. I don't know what he had to do to get out of the boat. I don't know how big it was. I don't know what was going on. But he came out at one point and was like, here we go. You know, and almost like jammed his knee because he was like, my goodness, this is solid. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. And he took a few steps and went out and walked on the water. He did something for the Lord. You can't wait to say, well, when I'm ready, then I'll be able to do it. That time won't come. The Lord's not looking for you to do it in your own strength so that everybody can see your strength and everybody can see your abilities. The Lord's not looking for that. Peter starts looking around and he sees the wind and he looks like this and he says, Lord, starts sinking, Lord, save me. And the Lord reaches out a hand. That's how close he was. He just reached out a hand and took his hand and pulled him up. Pulls them up, they get into the ship, and what happens? They came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. That's what happens. He comes into the boat, and the wind ceases, and they start worshiping the Lord. And there's Peter. I mean, you know, at some point, you know the conversation came up, and Peter was like, who's that guy that walked on the water again? Oh, that was me. That's right. Not you, 11. That was me. I'm the one that did that. And they're probably like, yeah, you remember the guy that got a few steps and then was crying for, oh, help me, help me. Yeah, that was you too. But you know what? They were both right. They were both right. Sometimes you can be trying to do something for the Lord and you can be walking on water and then all of a sudden, Lord, I need some help. Lord, I'm failing you here. I need help to do it. But Peter did it. He walked on the water. He had to be willing to defy the logic of man. He had to be willing to step outside of his comfort zone. And he had to be willing to stay focused on the Lord. Because if he would have stayed focused on the Lord, him and the Lord could have been out there and they could have had a nice time walking all the way to shore. If he'd have kept his eyes on the Lord. Peter wasn't perfect, but he did walk on the water. And maybe, just maybe, there's a couple in here, a few in here tonight that would say, man, I'd like to walk on water. I'd like to have the Lord use me to do something impossible for ultimately for his glory and for his praise in my life. That'd be a great thing. That'd be a great thing. And whatever it is, when the Lord says, come, then say, so help me, Lord, and step out of the boat. Say, comfort zone, no more. I'm way outside of it. I'm stepping out of the boat. This feels crazy. This shouldn't be happening. And just let the Lord lead you and walk on water for the Lord. And at some point, others will be able to say, they did it. They did it. And encourage someone else to do the same. Encourage someone else. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight.